Any questions, come forward and take the microphone and ask your questions. Sister?
Pastor, my question here is that there is a place that I always believe in praying with word of God. But there is something that always happened to me there is a particular thing that happened to me and I worried about it. But I want to read this place, Matthew 7 verse 7. He was saying, verse 7 to 12, he said that, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asks, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will him give him a stone? Or if he asks of fish, will him give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, knowing how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? So why I'm asking this question is that there is somebody that I always pray for. And this person actually is not yet baptized. But I believe that once I am under the blood of Jesus Christ, if I am baptized and use this particular verse to pray, that God's supposed to hear me. And when I pray for that person with this verse, nothing seems to happen. So I'm worried about it seriously. That's why I want to ask you.
Is he a man? Because you are so worried. Church, listen. You must balance your revelation of scripture. Now, this is a verse that is saying, he who asks, receives. And it's giving you the assurance that you human beings, if your children ask you for something, you won't give the person another thing else. But you give him exactly what he wants, trying to let you have the assurance that whatever you ask God, he will give you. But there's another scripture again. 1 John chapter 5. Let's read it. Verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And verse 15. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So that condition is still there. What you are asking God must be according to his will. So if it is not according to his will, even though he said, he who asks receives, you will get it. So you must balance scripture. Somebody who is not under the blood, what will you lose to bring him to the throne of grace? Because you cannot bypass the blood to get to the throne of grace. You must pass through the blood. Now, God can answer the prayer of a believer under his mercy. And when he shows such mercy, it is also for a purpose. But that scripture is meant for his children. That's what you should take note of. So you will use that as a reason for him to answer the prayer for a believer. What you should be praying for that unbeliever is to ask God for mercy. Lord, have mercy on him and answer him. Lord, have mercy on him and answer him. Have mercy, because I have a stake in it. If you answer him, you will marry me. So, give him reason why you should give, you know, that kind of prayer. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you. Let's listen.
Shalom, sir. Shalom.
God bless you. Shalom.
Sir, I would want to know if about this Trinity, I want to get the distinction between Trinity and the three offices in the God.
The distinction.
Yes.
The distinction is simple. Trinity is a misrepresentation of the revelation of the Godhead. While unity, God manifesting himself in three offices, is a scriptural revelation of the Godhead. That is the distinction.
Then I will ask, is it a one person operating these three offices?
Yes.
Is it the meaning that there are no existence of this Son and the Holy Ghost?
Son, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, they are the offices that God of creation manifested in for the purpose of our salvation.
But sir, I'm having the understanding that the conception of that Son was in the Garden of Eden.
The conception of what?
That Son.
The Son.
Yes, was in the Garden of Eden. That is, God conceived them. That Son in the Garden of Eden.
No, he conceived. No, no. The conception of the Son, according to the Bible, was from the beginning of the world, before the foundation of the world.
Okay, I'm thinking of it that God. God said them. This, I will put a limit between you and his son, and this the son of this woman. And that was this. He will bruise your head, and you shall. Bruise.
What has that got to do with the Godhead?
Yes, that's what I mean.
In Luke 1, verse 33, that angel said that the son, that holy thing that shall be born of you, shall be called the Son of God.
Yes.
Is this making any difference?
Difference with what?
Okay, that. As for the Holy Ghost now, Holy Ghost have been existing.
You have left the Son to the Holy Ghost.
Okay,
now.
That is. Is it not true that Son, Holy thing born that time was in the Holy? Son of God.
I'm very sorry, I don't understand your question.
I mean, the angel announced that the Holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God.
Yes.
Then. That thing that was born, how is he then the very, God again?
I didn't say that which was born was God. I said that it was an office of God. It is the medium by which God expressed himself for the purpose of our redemption. Because the Bible says God was in his Son, reconciling the world to himself. The Bible said there is one mediator between God a man, the man Jesus.
Yes, sir. So we cannot be alluding to those Son and the Holy Ghost again in any way.
I don't understand you.
Shall we not be having anything to be calling Son again? That is when we refer to Jesus and the Holy Ghost, when we refer to that spirit that is acting there. Sorry.
I don't know. Are you talking about the Godhead?
Son. And the Holy Ghost is what I am.
I have just told you. I said, there is the office of the Father, because that is his office in creation. He created us, so he is the Father of us all. But that which he created was lost. So that which he created needed redemption. And by the law of redemption, he, God, created a body for himself known as the Son of God.
Okay.
Incubated him. The Father was in his Son for the purpose of our redemption, to pay the price for redemption. And after he paid the price, he left back to what he has always been, to come back in those, to live in those that he has redeemed as the Holy Ghost. God the Father in his Son, and now in us as the Holy Ghost. That is the manifestation of God in three offices.
Okay. God, I have it that way.
Thank you very much. From Calabar, Sister Grace from Calabar. What are the signs that I have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Praise God. What are the signs? That is, what you actually want is, talk about is the evidence. I believe that should be the evidence. What is the evidence that you have received the Holy Ghost? That is also the topic I want to preach that I titled the evidence of salvation. The evidence of salvation. The Bible says that a tree is known by what? By fruit. By her fruit. A tree is known by her fruits. How do you know that this is a mango tree? You will look at the fruit. It is not the tree you will look at, because so many trees can look like the same in the forest. But to distinguish any tree from another, you look at the fruit. So anybody can say, I have received the Holy Ghost, because you believe some anointing is upon you, something happened to you. But how do you know that what you have received is the Holy Ghost? By their fruits you shall know them. There is also the fruit of the Spirit. So that is the evidence that you have received the Holy Ghost. We continue with that on Sunday and go much, much deeper. God bless you. Yes, sister.
Pastor Shalom.
God bless you.
I have two questions.
Uh-huh.
One, all the questions and answers I've been hearing, I've been reading, I understood all. But one, which you said that Cain is the evil seed. I don't understand that one. Because the word of God said, in Genesis, I can't read this, if I forgot in short. He said that Adam met his wife and she conceived Cain. Before he met his wife, then he conceived Abel. So, I don't understand that Cain was evil seed.
If I understand you well, you said today is your first time coming here.
Yes, sir.
So how did you hear that?
I'm online.
You're online?
Yes.
From where?
Awuchi, sir.
You came from Awuchi?
Yes, sir.
Oh, church, clap your hands now. Okay, I know why you are rejoicing now that you came here.
Praise the Lord! Oh, my God is good! My testimony is that today is my first time to be here. And when I came here, I don't know how to express it. Joy, I am full of joy, that the joy is in me, but God Almighty, oh Lord! I am so happy. My joy is unquenchable. Nothing can quench my joy. Oh God, I bless you. God, I thank you. God, I thank you in the mighty name of Jesus.
So this thing what you see every time for television, so your leg not touch the place.
Not only that, sir. I came here because I don't believe that I will baptize. I thought it will be hard for me to baptize. But person told me that I will meet Pastor Francis and I was baptized. That is why I am happy.
Have God baptized you?
Yes.
The baptism is ready today.
Yes.
Amen. Clap your hands now. Amen. Hey. Now you understand, because I've been trying to understand what your joy is. That is the joy of a believer. You see, I was very confused. I was wondering, what is the testimony? Now I understand. Do you, in fact, come and give special number. Come and give special number. Say the next one you like.
Okay. I give you all the glory. I give you honor. I give you all the glory. I give you honor. I give you all the glory. I give you honor. I give you all the glory. I give you honor.
Thank you very much. Now I understand. You don't know what it is to find out that truly you find yourself in error all this while. Then God opens your eyes to see what true salvation is. You see? My brother was telling me in the office today, a minister, he says, when he came to this church, he said he never believed that any other person preached salvation like Kumuyi. He said he was a tongue deep lifer. You were tongue deep, but you were not deep enough. Until you come to the restoration ministry. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you want salvation, you have come to where you will meet salvation. So, because as simple as water baptism is to you, it looks simple to you, but you don't know it's a grace that God opened your eye to see it. There are doctorate degree holders that can never see it. And let me tell you interestingly, and it is a mystery, and I can prove it from the scripture, it is God that closed their eyes. And it is not to make us to be proud. If God can close a doctorate degree holder and an illiterate, the first time you hear it, your eye opens. Wow. He opens your eye. That should make you appreciate God so much. You will serve God better than that doctorate degree holder. Because it is grace. Praise the Lord. So when you see her rejoicing, people travel from everywhere. We receive calls everywhere from all around the world. Just hearing our broadcast like this. They are asking, where can I be baptized? Where can I be baptized? Where can I be baptized? See? They are not running and coming for miracles, signs and wonders. They want to go to heaven. People want to go to heaven. How many of them have? How many of them are here? Oh, glory be to God. Now, you are asking a very interesting question. That is one of the areas that confuse the doctorate degree holders. Reverend Doctor Theology. You say, in your church, I'm sorry, which church did they go?
Protestant Church, Isabarak.
Which, okay, they go government church. That's government church. Government allowed two churches in the barrack, Catholic and those who protested against Catholic. They employ, recruit pastors for Catholic and for Protestant. Praise the Lord. Now, you were taught, right from when you were growing up, that it was up to the earth in the Garden of Eden. Correct?
No. It's when I came here, I joined Protestant Church. I was with Holy Ghost Power Mission in North.
Okay, what did they teach you before you met us? What did they say happened in the Garden of Eden?
Garden of Eden.
Yes, the sin that was committed there.
They don't teach me. They just say that they eat fruit.
Eh?
Eve ate fruit and give her husband.
But which fruit?
No, just fruit.
Eh?
Just fruit.
The fruit don't get
name. No, they don't tell me the name of the fruit.
What they could not tell you is what you are hearing now. That is the fruit they ate. And that fruit, God told them not to eat it. And the Bible says, I am the Lord, I change it not. What they hated in the Garden of Eden, till today, he still hates it. The sin that they commit that reduced mankind to what we are today, that sent that innocent man, Jesus, to suffer that gruesome death, that hatred death. You know, it is not just some fruit from one tree that somebody ate. It's more than that. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, but we have a lot of keys in the Bible, but just take this one key, because I can't preach it now. Just give you a picture so that you too ponder over it. Now, in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 20, such is the way of an adulterous woman. Who is an adulterous woman? Adulterous woman is a married woman that leaves her husband and goes to fornicate. Now, he said, this is how she does it. She eateth and wiped her mouth and said, I have done no wickedness. So, what does she eat, adulterous woman? What she ate now is the same thing Eve ate in the Garden of Eden. And why did they use the word to eat? It's because it is only the woman that has two mouths that she eats from. And any from any mouth you eat, you go enter the land. Eat. Now eat.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, my second question is this.
Yes.
Pastor, don't be offended though.
Go ahead.
Okay. According to this man, because I say whenever I come here, I will ask that you said that no, you said that Jesus, you teach, I heard you say that Jesus is everything, I understand. But John, the book of John, Jesus continued praying. He even prayed to Father. He said, this that you have given to me, that you will not allow, they're praying for us. He's praying for, who is he praying to?
Listen, you get confused. There's another message I preached that I titled, The Man Jesus and the Name Jesus. There is the man Jesus and there is the name Jesus. Okay? So, the name Jesus is the name of the Father. It is the Father, because wherever God, because he was saving through that man that he created, he placed his name there. So, the man Jesus is the Son of God. But the name Jesus is the name of God. Do you understand that? Thank you. The Son was bearing the name of the Father. Thank you. Yes?
God bless you, sir. I want to be clarified. Is there any relationship between the manifestation of Angel Michael and Christ himself.
Michael is an angel of God. Christ is the Son of God.
Okay. And there is a group on WhatsApp, and some members of this church belong to that group. And
some members of this church do what?
Are part of that group.
Yes,
on WhatsApp application. And so somebody brought a message and boldly thought that Michael, whose name is like unto God or unto the Lord, you know, he said that it was Christ pre-manifestation before his physical manifestation. And so he made many claims, and up till now he has not been challenged. And I told him I would clarify and get back to him, because I have been in the message for 13 years. I have never heard about that.
That Michael is the one that came as Jesus, or what?
What was that trying to say? That the one that manifested as the Melchizedek, the Logos, and everything, who later, you know, came as Christ, is actually Michael. And Michael is the angel of the Lord.
So, what did he say about Gabriel?
He said Gabriel is a proper angel, but Michael is an archangel.
So, what scripture did he use to support it?
Well, he mentioned the place where Michael ministered to Daniel, and that was why he was specifically for the Israelites after then.
Eh?
He said, you know, Michael ministered to Daniel, and he also mentioned that Michael was specifically focused for the Israelites then.
So, Michael is referred to as the archangel. Correct?
Yes.
Now, what of the angel in Revelation chapter 10? The mighty angel. In Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roared. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Verse 4. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and we know the rest of the story. He swore that there should be time no longer. Who is that mighty angel?
I believe it's Christ.
It is Christ. Then who is Michael? Praise the Lord. Forget all that. Now, if you ever believe that Michael is the one that manifests as Jesus Christ, Michael was the one that was manifested as Melchizedek, Michael, praise the Lord, and it is even foolish to say Michael was Melchizedek. Because in Hebrews chapter 7, let's read it. From verse 1. For this Melchizedek came of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. To him also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. See where I am going? But Melchizedek was without father, without mother, without descent, having neither the coming of us, nor end of life. But men like unto the Son of God abided the priest continually. Is angel Michael God? Who did Abraham meet as Melchizedek? It was God in angelic form. Praise the Lord. Now, if you ever believe that Michael is the one that has metamorphosed to Jesus according to God's plan for redemption, it means you believe in the pre-existence, corporate, physical, or spiritual pre-existence of Jesus Christ before the virgin birth. And that will be wrong. Jesus only existed in the mind of God. Praise the Lord. And in due time, Galatians chapter 4, he was manifested. In the beginning was the Word. John chapter 1, verse 1. And that Word is Logos. And that Logos, hallelujah, was a thought. In the beginning was a thought. And the thought was with God. Which thought? The thought of how he will save man. And that thought became flesh in the womb of a woman. Bless the Lord. At the proper time. So forget those distracting arguments.
Praise the Lord, sir. God bless. I really want to thank you because why I decided to say this, there are many people in this fellowship who keep adding people to that group. And that was my first time I'm going to hear something like that. I don't actually agree with him, but I wanted to stress it because everyone in that group kept quiet, including those who worship here.
Of course, when you have nothing to say, you keep quiet. It's harder to keep quiet than to make a mistake. Speak only when you are sure and leave it there. After all, it's a good discussion. Anybody is free to say anything. So, if you don't know what to say to counter it, it's normal, you keep quiet. But if you know, fire them back. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, yes.
My question is coming from Genesis 48 about Manasseh and Ephraim. When Joseph brought two of his sons to the father to bless, and Manasseh was the first son, why Ephraim was the junior one?
Manasseh and Ephraim. Yes.
But when Jacob wanted to bless them, he crossed bridge. His bridge, which made their father to be angry and asked the father. The father said that he saw it before he did it. But pastor, in coming to Revelation chapter 7, the name of Ephraim was plucked out in the 144 Israelites that were saved. Why?
Pastor Thomas has answered this question here several times. Pastor Thomas, come and answer them again. Why is the name of Ephraim blocked out from the 144,000 in Revelation chapter 7?
Praise the Lord.
He has preached this several times.
We have mentioned several times. We have preached several times and taught us here in the church. Maybe you are just joining us. Praise the Lord. It's a little bit lengthy. Maybe we just try as much as possible to summarize it. Praise the Lord. Okay? If you notice, during the call of 144,000 Jews under the ministry of the two prophets of Revelation chapter 11 verse 3, the two tribes were missing there. Ephraim and Dan, they were not there. That is the sin that Israel had not yet paid for. Is the sin of Jeroboam. Under the from the book of 1 Kings, from chapter 12, 13, 14, when the son of Solomon handed the United Kingdom of Israel to his son, Rehoboam. Now, you know what happened, you know the story? Rehoboam started to seek for advice from the elders that ruled under his grandfather and his father, David and Solomon. And those elderly men gave him an elderly advice, saying, if you want the whole Israel to subject themselves under your rulership, you humble yourself. If you do that, the whole people will submit themselves to you. He accepted the advice of the elders. But as a young man, the Bible says he called the young men of his days and decided to ask advice for the young men. And the young men told him, say, hey, obey. If you want to rule these people, tell them my father rule you people with cane. But I'm going to rule people with hot whip. Now when the people hear that, the Bible say, the Holy Spirit say, oh, that is what we are going to do to all, to your tent, to all Israel. And by that action, the United Kingdom of Israel was divided into two. The two tribes of Judah and Benjamin were the southern tribe, while the other 10 tribes went to the north. Now, the 10 tribes that went to the north decided to have a ruler over themselves. They want to call a man called Jeroboam to rule over them as king. And their capital was in Samaria. Now, Jeroboam, having taken rule over the 10 tribes, the Bible says he was afraid out of fear. He said, if we here allow the 10 tribes now to be going according to the law to Jerusalem in the south to be worshipping God, that they will eventually leave him and go and submit themselves to under Jeroboam. Therefore, the Bible says he made two golden calves and he placed one in Dan and placed one in Ephraim and told the 10 northern tribes that this is now your God. And all of them came and began to worship the golden calf. It was an individual on their own that sneaked and got to south to the temple to worship God. Now, every other king that came up now after Jeroboam, none of them had the God to destroy those golden calf that were there. So, it became a God to the 10 northern tribe, their national God. Praise the Lord. Now, if you go to the book of Hosea, not chapter 4, there was a way God said here, I know I taught it there, here. God said, Ephraim had been married to their God, leave him alone. Praise the Lord. So now, don't turn up on tribe, they sought to that idol. And God don't have to leave them alone. Until now, both of the ten tribes, they are still not under perfect will of God now under the two tribes of Israel. That's why they were subjected. That was where Manasseh and Joseph were brought in to make up the tribe. But if you go to the book of Ezekiel 48, after the atonement, because Israel right now they have been gathered back to their homeland. When they declared their independence in 1948, they have gathered there under the feet of atonement. Now remember, after the feet of atonement, the next feet is the feet of, after the feet of trumpet, the next feet is the feet of atonement. The atonement that Israel rejected, when Christ hung on Calvary, when Christ will come now to reveal themselves to him, when Israel will suffer under the second half of the 78th week, it will be a judgment for Israel. And under that judgment, Israel will recognize the Messiah and accept the atonement that were done on Calvary. And by that action, their sin will be wiped away. And those two tribes will now be brought back. That was what God was showing us in the prophecy that is shown to Ezekiel. And even to Ezekiel chapter 48. If you go back, you will notice that the 12 tribes, they were now complete. Ephraim and Dan were added here. So that is why they were not recorded. They wanted to their judgment. Yes, God bless you.
Let's clap our hands now for this. Okay.
Pastor, there's another thing I want you to clarify me very well. Like on Tuesday, he said, one saved are saved. Forever saved. And somebody asked you about Judas Iscariot, whether Judas is saved or not.
Go ahead.
Somebody asked about Judas Iscariot.
Yes.
Whether will he be saved?
What's your question?
My question is, Judas Iscariot, his name, is it not in the book of life, right from the foundation of the world?
Praise God. I think there's somewhere in the Bible that Judas was referred to as the son of perdition. Which scripture is that? Praise the Lord. John 17 verse 12. Sister, this is Jesus Christ praying for his disciples. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now, look at another son of perdition in the Bible. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day the coming of the Lord shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Who is that? That is the Antichrist himself. If Judas' name is in the book of life, then the Antichrist's name too will be in the book of life. For they bear the same title, the same ministry. By their fruits, you know them. God bless you.
Bless you.
Okay, we have from the Philippines, Brother Miracle Praise from Philippines. Philip, he's a Filipino. Shalom. The Bible says in Matthew 11:11 that John the Baptist is the greatest among all born of women, but the least in the kingdom of God. Sir, please, I'm not too clear about it. Does it mean that all in the New Testament are greater than him? Yes. Greater. Amen. Because of the position you occupy. Amen. Because of the covenant we are under. John the Baptist, amen, was under the law. And he was under a covenant that was sealed with the blood of an animal. But we are under the covenant of the blood of Jesus Christ. So that means was higher than him in the kingdom. That's the meaning. God bless you.